This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We welcome you to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. When problems of this world seek to drag us down, our hearts tend to cling to things that are dear to us. Blessings, such as our homes, relationships, and other possessions, offer security when stormy days threaten us. Yet there is an inherent danger attached to them, and we're going to learn what it may be.
It's so easy to get off track in our relationship with God. Today we're going to take a look at an Old Testament story that contains a wise word of counsel for each one of us. Stay with us. Let's pray. Almighty God, from whom every good and perfect gift comes, we gather to worship you this day with thanksgiving and praise. We ask that you would enlarge our vision of you and your greatness with your holy word. Instill in us again faith and hope in you alone. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our reading for today is from 1 Kings chapter 17. I would encourage you, if you have a Bible, to open it up and read along with me. Now Elijah the Tishbite of Tishbe in Gilead said to King Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word." Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, saying, "Go from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the Wadi Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. You shall drink from the Wadi, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So Elijah went and did according to the word of the Lord. He went and lived by the Wadi Cherith, which is east of the Jordan, that ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the Wadi. Here ends our reading. Keep those Bibles open, though. We're going to look at the whole of chapter 17. Dear friends, I recently attended a graduation ceremony at one of the universities in our country. It was a very impressive experience. I had a wonderful brass band, a powerful speaker. Something happened in that ceremony that did bother me a little bit. Quite a bit. You see, they began the festivities with a prayer that was led by an Islamic chaplain and a Catholic nun. The message that was basically communicated in that prayer was that God is a God of all religions, and it really doesn't matter which one you follow. It broke my heart as I heard the crowd around me say in affirmation, "Amen." It saddened me. I know many of these people that were saying that were probably from church backgrounds. But I do think it represents the world and the mindset in which we live. It's all too easy for us to get off track in our walk with God. It always has been. To wanting to fit in to the society around us. We see evidence of that in today's Old Testament narrative about Israel and Elijah and God, which I read for you from 1 Kings 17. It's dark times in Israel when we find this story kicking off. God, you see, had freed the Israelites from slavery in Egypt many years before, and Moses led them through the wilderness. Before they got into the promised land, Moses gave them one last sermon, which we find in Deuteronomy. And he takes them through the Ten Commandments, and he reminds them the first commandment, how important it was. He said, "I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above or the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them." Well, you see, the people of Israel had thrown that one out. It had fallen by the wayside. They had become what we call syncretistic, which means they combined various belief systems with their own. They combined the idol worship of their neighbors with their own worship. The people that they found in the land of Canaan, in the promised land, had what they called Baal gods, ancient gods of fertility, which they believed would make the crops grow and provide then life to the people. The Israelites, who had for so long counted on God for life out in the wilderness, not knowing much about farming and wanting to fit into the culture, as well as put food on the tables, started giving in, counting on these fertility gods to take care of them. They kind of supplemented their belief in the God of Israel. And it didn't help that the political leaders of the day were promoting this sort of activity. There was an especially bad king and queen named Ahab and Jezebel who insisted that the people of Israel worship the Baals. It was dark times in the spiritual life of that country. There was an ever-widening gap being developed between God and his people. Well, in our story for today, we see God reacting to all of this. He sends a spokesman named Elijah, whose name means literally, "My God is Yahweh," the Lord God of Israel. He sent Elijah to bring a word from the Lord to the king. What's interesting to note right off the bat is that Elijah, where he's from, he's an outsider. He's from the east of Jordan, Tishbe, a no-name community that you can't find on a map in the county of Gilead. He's a hick from the sticks. And yet this hick from the sticks has a calling upon his life from God, and he dares to approach the evil king Ahab and tell him what God wants him to know. How's that for faith? And his message to Ahab was this: "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives before whom I stand," Elijah said, "there shall be neither dew nor rain these years." That's going to mean no crops, no food on the table, until God says so, except by my word, the Lord says. I want to show you, God is telling Ahab, who is really in charge of this world, and it's not the Baals. Well, you know what happens is sudden drought kicks in. God tells Elijah, "You better go hide in the wilderness where I'll take care of you. You want to not let Ahab get his hands on you." He sent him out to a place called Wadi Cherith. A wadi was a seasonal stream you'd find out in the wilderness. And he promises Elijah that he'll take care of him. And here's how he'll do it. He says, "I have commanded ravens, scavenger birds, to come and feed you there." So Elijah went according to the word of the Lord, and it saved his life. Each day, the raven catering service, twice a day, brought extravagant meals, bread and meat, which was considered an extravagance in those days, to Elijah. One day, though, with no rain coming, the little stream dried up for lack of rain. And we're left with the question, oh no, what's going to happen now to Elijah? What about that promise God gave him? God comes through. God tells Elijah, "Now I want you to go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, the capital of Baal worship. And I want you to live there. And I've commanded a widow to feed you, to take care of you." Elijah must have scratched his head as he considered that. How could a no-name widow in a land that was filled with Baal worshippers that would probably not like having him around be able to take care of him? When he got there, he found that there was a drought going on there as well, thus showing us that God has power over all the world and not just the promised land. And Elijah finds the widow scrounging around for sticks to make a fire, He says, could you give me some water and bread? She said, I have only a handful of meal and a little oil for me and my son to eat. I'm going to make a fire and use the rest of it up, and then we're going to just die like everybody else. But Elijah promised her, on behalf of God, the meal will never empty, and the jar of oil will continue to remain full, according to the word of the Lord. So she takes him home and feeds him. And the bucket of meal never is empty, and the jar of oil continues to be full. He settles in with them. But one day the boy dies. It's the last story in chapter 17. She's very upset, of course, with Elijah and with God. He takes the body of the boy to the upper chamber of the house, and he talks to God. He's upset with God. Is this your doing, Lord? Then he does a little healing ritual that was done in those days. He stretched himself over the boy with his own body and pleaded for the child's life in prayer. And the child came back to life. And he takes the boy to his mother. Your son's alive. And she becomes a believer. A believer in Elijah as a man of God, bringing the word of God, but a believer in the God of Israel, here in the center of the Baal-worshipping capital. She believes in God, as God shows himself able to give life anywhere. Now, why are these stories in our Bible? You have to ask that. Why were they saved for us to examine? And these Elijah stories, you see, we witness again and again and again the power and faithfulness of God. Why are we reminded of these things, with these stories? To call the people of God back to that first commandment. You shall have no other gods but me. Count on me alone for life. God's rescued people, as we see, had fallen prey to the belief that they could build their security elsewhere and find life elsewhere. They could experience the good life and just believing in the fertility gods of the day, adding them on, like good luck charms or whatever, to their existence. But in these stories, God challenges that belief, and these so-called gods who people considered able to control life and death, whether in the human or natural order, and he shows that he alone makes life possible. And we see in these Elijah stories that God is refusing to compete with other gods because they do not exist. I'm it, is the message that's coming out here. I am it. I and I alone am the giver of life. I am not number one among many. I am the only, and there are no others. I own and operate this universe. I'm the one who designed life and the only one who knows how to make it work. I am the only one who can help you, direct you, satisfy you, save you, and give you life. Period. That was then. We reason. We don't do that now, do we? People might ask. Worship idols? If it's one commandment that I haven't broken, it's making an idol. I haven't been whittling any pieces of wood and putting it on an altar in my living room. Well, that may not be the case, but it still doesn't mean that it may not be true. Martin Luther wrote a catechism. And in that large catechism on the first commandment, he wrote, what is it to have a God? Answer, a God is that to which we look for all good, in which we find refuge in time of need. To have a God is nothing else than to trust and believe him with our whole heart. In other words, a God is anything that we look to for security. Anything can become a god or an idol when it becomes a substitute for the Lord God in our lives. Maybe it's money and possessions, status, popularity, prestige, fame, family, and yes, even yourself. Any of those things can become gods that we worship and trust for life. They need to be dethroned. Anything that diverts our attention from God, our affection for God, or our reliance on God is something that has become an idol, another God in our lives. And God is saying to us today, through these stories, those of us who have been rescued by Jesus, see to it that you let me alone be your God and never seek another. Whatever good thing you lack, look to me for it and seek it from me. And whenever you suffer misfortune and distress, come and cling to me. Only let your heart cling to no one else. You see, dear friends, our God is the only God. He created us. He revealed himself to us in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, and he rescued and redeemed us from sin and death and the devil through Christ's death and resurrection so that we might be his own, that we might belong to him. And the message is clear and relevant for us today, every bit as much as it was the first time that this story of Elijah was told. Count on me. The Lord your God, you can count on me. So count on me. Trust me with your life and me alone. Are you counting on him alone as the source of your life? Martin Luther gives us a little thing to think about as we do an inventory about that question. He says, therefore, let everyone take care to magnify and exalt this commandment above all things, and not make light of it. Search and examine your own heart thoroughly, and you will find whether or not it clings to God alone. Do you have the kind of heart that expects from him nothing but good, especially in distress and want, that renounces and forsakes all that is not God? Then you have the one true God. On the contrary, though, does your heart cling to something else from which it hopes to receive more good and help than from God? And does it flee not to God but from him when things go wrong? Then you have an idol, another God in your life. What are we to do if that's the case? I believe the story is saying to those that maybe have chased off after other gods in their lives, repent. He loves you. He's a God of grace. Repent and come home to him. Surrender your life to his care and count on him and him alone. For this God knows what's best for your life. You can count on him. So why not count on him? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we confess that we oftentimes do forget how great and mighty and faithful you are. Forgive us for those moments when we forget to trust in you and your promises. We thank you for this reminder today in your holy word that you are able to do so much more than we give you credit for. Make us more trusting, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. As you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, and within you to give you his peace. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message will encourage you to surrender your life to God's care, to cling to him and him only. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders is dependent upon the free will gifts of our listening audience. Many people choose to remember a loved one with a memorial gift. These gifts are sometimes given to remember a special person on their birthday or another meaningful occasion. If you would like to make a donation in loving memory of someone, please send it to Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. We thank all those who support this ministry with their prayers and gifts. You are invited to visit our website, where you can find many useful Bible helps as well as an audio and printed copy of today's program. Our web address is ChristianCrusaders.org. If you would like to receive a CD or printed copy of today's sermon, contact us at Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. We are happy you chose to worship with us today, and we pray you will join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor at Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota, and speaker on Christian Crusaders since 2005. Christian Crusaders is now in its 79th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.